reading Psalm number 20. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings, and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant me according to thine own heart, and fulfil all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfil all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven, with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. It's a wonderful contrast. Oh, say sorry. Thank you. Save, Lord. Let the King hear us when we call. Thank you very much. Because it's written in the next column. I missed it. Thank you. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. That is said, of course. Well, I say of course. It's said to the king. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. Well, I think we can apply these to ourselves, because in Christ we are kings and priests. Amen. So this is said as much to the Christian as it was to David. And we need and have access to help from the sanctuary. And I expect you know which verse that I would be referring us to, but it's, in fact, does anyone know which verse I might be referring to? No, I would say, where do we get our help from? But if you go to Hebrews 4,
lift up your eyes unto the Lord.
Yes, but in the New Testament, Hebrews 4, verse 15. I was just seeing whether I had too much of a record. But for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So this is where we get our help from. From the sanctuary of heaven. And there are two things we get. We get mercy, obtain mercy. Mercy for sins, in particular, I think that's speaking about. Mercy perhaps for our weakness, but grace to help in time of need. And I think that we all always need that, but particularly in times of trouble, because here he's speaking of, Lord, hear thee in the day of trouble. Speaking it perhaps of a particular day of trouble that King David was facing. There may be particular days of trouble that the people of God are facing. Times that we need to draw on hidden resources that maybe we haven't had to look to before. Time when we maybe feel pressed because we've not confronted a situation quite so hard as this. It's a lovely prayer in those circumstances that we pray, send thee help. Lord, send you help from the sanctuary. It's a lovely model of a prayer that we can pray for other people in trouble as well as for ourselves. Well, in verse 3, we don't say, remember all our offerings and our burnt sacrifice. We've got one offering to remember. And that's going back to Hebrews 4. That's why we have access to the throne of grace. Remember Calvary. We can certainly say that in our prayers. And that is the basis, the only basis upon which we can make our request. I was going to preach on Deuteronomy 9 yesterday, but as I thought before I started preparing it, I should pray. And when I prayed, meekness came into my mind, which is why I switched to Mark chapter 5. But Deuteronomy 9 is very interesting. Because what the Lord says is, I put you in the land not because of your own righteousness, but because of the wickedness of the people round about you. So when none of us are given anything by our own merit. It's only the merit of Jesus Christ. It's the imputed righteousness of Christ. So we can't make any claims based on, say, well, Lord, I'm better than him. I'm better even than my adversary. I can't say that because my righteousness stands on the imputed righteousness of Christ and nothing else. It's particularly hard if your struggle may be against other believers, in which case all we can do is appeal for mercy and the truth. Grant me according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. Have you thought about that for a moment? Sometimes, or very often in our lives, aren't we praying despite our own heart? Some of the struggles that we have in life are because our heart desires something different to what the Lord wants. But what we need is the Lord to so conform our hearts that what we want is what the Lord wants. And it seems that the psalmist, who was said to be David, Psalm David, was able to say about the king that his heart was the Lord's heart. And it goes back to when we looked yesterday at Psalm 32, where the Lord is teaching us his way. He doesn't want to be bit and bridle. We don't want to be bit and bridle Christians that just go right or left like robots. But we want the understanding, the mind of Christ, to be so much part of us that what we want is what the Lord wants. Anything different, you know, we're in James 2, James warns the people he was writing to and say, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. They were asking according to their lusts, not according to the desire of God. That we won't ask if we ask with the wrong motives. We won't succeed in remaining here if it's just because we want the building, just because it's somewhere we're familiar with, because we'll feel insecure if we aren't here. That wouldn't be enough, would it? The only ground upon which we will remain here is if God has purposes for us here. That's all. And the rightness of our cause. But the two go together, don't they? Because if we're right to be here, then God will work for us. But it's important that we don't ask, even for this great request, out of the wrong motives. I'm sure we don't, and forgive me if you even think that I'm implying that we do. I'm simply reminding myself as much as anyone else that it must be based on what God's heart is for the future work here. God willing, it is for us to take this work forward. That is my desire. I hope it is the Lord's desire. I believe it is, otherwise we wouldn't be engaging in this contest, as it were, this struggle. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. We have a salvation, don't we? There are two salvations, I think, perhaps spoken of here. There's a salvation that we rejoice in Christ. I always think that that's important to unpack, this idea of salvation, because we can use it too glibly as Christians, because it means something to us. But if you think about a drowning man, he knows he needs saving. Either he'll think he can do it in his own strength, or if he's finished with his own strength, he'll be looking for someone else to help him. Well, for us, we need to recognize our need of being saved spiritually, and with it comes an acknowledgement of sin, because without that acknowledgement of sin and the sure and righteous judgment of God against that sin, we won't think that we need saving. Hence the self-righteous people in the world around us, they don't think they need saving because they think they're self-righteous. They think they're righteous, they're trusting in their own righteousness, so they've no need to be saved. It's only when you realize that you are a sinner and that your righteous acts won't save you, that you are in the hands of a just God who is right to be angry against sin and who will cast you into the deepest hell, then you know you need saving. Then you will cry out to God to save you. And that's what we have here. We will rejoice in thy salvation in the name of our God. We will set up our banners. I'll come back to that. But the next verse says, now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. We look to God to save us from heaven. He's done so by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do not trust in our own actions to save us. The Roman Catholic Church acknowledge that they are sinners, that they deserve hell, but somehow they think that they have a part of the function of saving along with the Lord Jesus. That is how subtle the enemy is. And so, yes, they acknowledge their need of a saviour, but they think that the saviour is there to help them and not to do it all himself. We will set up our banners. I don't know if you know anything about the army, but the regiment I'm in, we have our dinner tonight. The regiment, the companies, they have their company colours, and they put their, so we're in the old, in well, actually even in times of war the colours go with you. You never put them up today, you get them shot to pieces. But
there's a flag,
yeah, yeah, that's right, yeah. And what you do is you put it in, and everyone would gather around the battalion colours, but there'd be other flags, there'd be the company colour. Each company, there are five companies, would have their colours, and you put your company colour in, and the company rallies around that colour. So, as Christians, we put our banners up. Our banners are represented by our confession of faith, our standing together for the cause of Christ and his gospel, and his righteous laws and his ways. And we can pray, Lord, fulfill all thy petitions. We can say that of a Christian who is praying according to God's will. We can say that about our own petitions. Lord, fulfill our petitions. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Isn't it tempting when we're in times of real difficulty to be thinking of how rich are we? Who are our friends? Who can we turn to? And we can even deceive ourselves thinking that these are the provisions of God. But God wants us to look to him. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. That is powerful, and he can save us. They are brought down and fallen. Those who just trust in the things of this world will be brought down and fall, whether it's immediately or in the long term. But we are risen and stand upright. God is able to make the Christians, not only to save him from his difficulties, but to make him stand upright. And that's why we read in Ephesians 6, after you've done everything, stand. And we're standing with the armour of God. We're not cowering. We're not running backwards. We are standing upright in the righteousness of Christ. Save, Lord. Let the King hear us when we call. Let the King, the Lord Jesus Christ, hear us when we call. And save us, Lord. Save us. Well, we can say that by God's grace we are saved through Christ. But even in our difficulties, we can cry out to the Lord to save us. Does anyone else have anything to add? That rather marvellous song.